Life insurance. Life insurance is to replace lost income due to death. It's really death insurance, but that's not very good marketing. 30% of the households in America today have no life insurance. Absolutely crazy as inexpensive as term insurance is. Most people that have life insurance have no idea what they own. They bought it from an old friend at school. They bought it from a relative who is now no longer in the business. 80% of the people in the life insurance business are gone within 2 years. They go do something else and you're stuck with whatever they sold you and your old buddy from college or whatever got you into it. And you don't even know what you own. Most people have no idea. There's basically two types of life insurance. There's term life insurance that's for a specified period. It's substantially cheaper and has no savings plan built into it. It's for a term. That's why they call it term life insurance. It's a 5-year term plan for a 5-year term or a 10-year or a 20-year or a 30-year. It's for a set term. Cash value insurance is normally for life, for your whole life. One type of cash value insurance is called whole life life insurance. And it's more expensive because it funds a savings program. As a matter of fact, it's a lot more expensive and funds a savings program. There's several types of cash value life insurance. There's whole life life insurance, which is the old-fashioned kind. Then they came along with universal life insurance and then variable universal life, or VLs, or VULs, variable life or variable universal life. If you hear anything like that, anytime you hear saving money inside of an insurance policy, that's a cash value type policy. Now, the most common insurance myth is that the need for insurance is a permanent situation. The only permanent situation in the world of life insurance is your agent's permanent need for commissions. That's the only thing permanent in there. Now let's look for a couple. I need a couple that's about, say, 30 years old, something like that. There's one. You guys. Okay, stand up, guys. What's your all's names?
I'm Keith.
Keith, good to meet you.
Shauna,
good to meet you. And how old are you guys?
36.
36 and 29. Okay, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to make you 30.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. And I'm going to do damage. I'm going to make you 30, okay? So we've got a great 30-year-old couple. Do y'all have kids?
We do.
And what ages?
3-year-old.
3-year-old?
And a 1.5-year-old.
And one. Oh, perfect. Perfect. Okay. So what happens in the life insurance world is they want us to think we need to keep life insurance for our whole life. And so we need to buy insurance for the whole thing all the way out there. But let's take this couple right here. They're 30 years old. Let's pretend for a second that we bought 20 years of level term insurance on them. Now let's visit them 20 years from now. She's not quite 50. And he's 50. Okay? And the babies were 1.5 and 3. So they're 21.5, almost through the senior year of college. And 23, out of college, and their parents have been through Financial Peace University, so the kids know how to handle money, so they're gone. They're not in the basement, right? And so the kids are grown and gone. Now, we teach you to never take more than a 15-year mortgage. Have you heard that? Say yes.
Yes.
Okay. So in 20 years, would they have a mortgage?
No.
Would they have any debt? Oh, no, because debt snowball long ago would have knocked it out, right? And in the retirement and college planning lesson, we're going to teach you Roth IRAs and 401ks, and you're going to be investing and saving money because you're out of debt. You're going to have money to invest. Your most powerful wealth-building tool is your income. Can you imagine in 20 years that the typical couple with the typical household income would have $700,000 to $1 million in their retirement plan? I can show you those numbers. Did you believe that?
Yes.
Okay, now let's visit them. They're 50 years old. The kids are grown and gone, they have no mortgage, and there's $1 million in mutual funds. Something happens to poor Keith. You think Shauna's gonna be all right? I think she's in great shape. See, by getting out of, well, except for that part. Aww. We're speaking financially, Keith. Okay. You will be missed, but okay. So, what the deal is this. By getting out of debt and building wealth, their need for insurance has gone away. They've become self-insured because they've got the wealth to supply her needs. And so this idea that you always have to have insurance is a concoction dreamed up by the insurance companies that sell insurance. So their need for insurance is going to go away. Now, my need for insurance years ago went away. But Sharon still wants me to buy some, and so we do. We call it SWI. Sharon wants it. So thanks, guys. Have a seat. So that's the idea. If you do good financial planning, your need for insurance starts to dissipate by getting rid of the debts and raising your wealth. Now, if you're not going to do the stuff that we teach in here, then you're not going to do the stuff that we teach in here. So people try to cherry pick and they go, well, that won't work. Well, it does work when you put it into the whole picture. It does work. So let's look at this for just a little bit. Well, let's pretend that we'll use Keith and Shauna, or we might even change Keith's name to Joe because that's what I put on the slide up here. So let's pretend we've got a 30-year-old and we wanted to go buy some whole life cash value life insurance, and we wanted to buy $250,000 on Keith or Joe. And if we did that, it would be $178 a month right now. That's according to research our firm just did with the top five whole life insurance companies out there. A $250,000 policy on a 30-year-old Keith would be, or a 30-year-old Joe would be, $178 a month. Now, what happens is that over time, it builds up inside of it this savings program called cash value. Have you ever heard of that? Say yes. Now, the actual averages of the top five companies are that at age 50, that Joe would have $34,000 cash value in there. That if he wanted to cash the policy out, they would hand him that. He's got a savings element to this as well. And, of course, at age 70, he wanted to retire. He could cash it out. He'd have $124,000 there set aside. Now, that's pretty cool. And that's the way they sell it. You pay that your whole life. And at the end of your life, you got some savings. If you die, you've got coverage. And that's basically the way it's sold. They talk about this owning a house where term insurance is renting. And that's how the whole life insurance agents sell this stuff. Now, let's instead look for a second at a better idea. Let's say that we wanted to buy $250,000 worth of 20-year level term on Keith or on Joe. At 30 years old, that would be $13 a month. For the same amount of life insurance, instead of $178 a month. See what I meant by it's more expensive? Which means if I'm going to spend $178, I've got $165 left over to put into something else. Let's put that in a Roth IRA, way away from life insurance people, in a good growth stock mutual fund over here. And let's see what happens. Ends up $164,000, not $34,000 at age 50. Ends up almost $2 million versus $124,000 at age 70. Now let's see. $2 million, $125,000. Pick the big number. I'm spending $178 both ways. I got the same insurance and I got a bazillion more dollars. But here's the big deal. Here's the reason this is the biggest ripoff since the payday loan. Payday lenders take advantage of the lower class. Whole life insurance is the payday lender of the middle class. Here's the problem. Let's say that we're trucking along there with the whole life insurance paying $178 for $250,000 worth of coverage. At age 50, there's $34,000 in savings, and we paid extra to get that. We see that now very clearly because we could have bought that amount of insurance for $13. So we know we've paid to build this, and we can actually run a rate of return, and we'll find out then that $34,000 is based on about a 3% rate of return, which is a lousy rate of return on the long haul. Here's the biggest problem with the whole thing, though, the ripoff of ripoffs. If something happens, he dies, they're going to send his beneficiary $250,000. What happened to the $34,000 he's been saving up all this time? They keep it. So you have a savings account with a horrible rate of return, and when you die, they keep your money. This is stupid. And yet it's sold like crazy. You know why it's sold like crazy? Because insurance agents are paid on premium. Their commission is calculated based on the premium. What do you want to sell if you're selling premium? 178 or 13? They sell the big one. Let's go all the way to the best and see what happens. Let's see what really happens here. Let's get $500,000 worth of coverage. Because here's the situation. With Keith down here, Shauna's got two little babies, right? Something happens to Keith, she doesn't need $250,000. That'll be gone just like that, won't it? We need to replace his income. If that's an average family, they're probably above average, but if that's an average family, then he makes about $50,000 a year. And if you had 10 times your income on you, or $500,000, we give Shauna $500,000 if something happens to Keith, and then guess what? She can invest that at 10%. If she made 10% rate of return on her investment, well, 10% of $500,000 is $50,000. Keith, I'm sorry, you've just been replaced. And you don't want to get too much because then you have to sleep with one eye open. So the best thing you can do is let's go ahead and get the proper amount of coverage so that little family's taken care of if something happens. Get that $500,000. It's only $21 a month. That lowers the amount out of our $178 formula that we've got, so our investments are a little less, but we still got almost $2 million versus $125,000 at retirement with what we didn't spend on rip-off cash value insurance. And that's what we're facing here. So never buy cash value insurance. It is not a good idea. People buy this stuff as an investment. It is not a good investment. We've just proven that. We've just broken it down for you very clearly. I don't own any of it. I've never sold any of it. I can't stand the stuff. Term life insurance is the only life insurance that you should buy. Now, why not use life insurance for investments? We just walked through it. Let's walk through it one more time. The returns are historically low. When you die with cash value, the insurance keeps the cash value. Well, with variable life, you make a little more on that, Dave. That's going into mutual funds. They showed me the mutual funds. They're earning 12 or 13%. Yes, they're earning that, but the net payout to you is never anywhere near that on your cash value growth in a variable life. Because what happens in a variable life is anytime you walk anything down the hallway of a life insurance company, its pocket gets picked while it's going. Because they're going to fee. It looks like a French poodle. There's so many fees. And by the time they do that, your net rate of return is very, very, very low. So the fees are deducted from your return are extremely high, thus creating a low return. Variable universal lives are averaging net return to the consumer less than 7%. Whole life is averaging between 2 and 4%. Lousy rates of return on long-term investments. Don't do it. Well, I'm going to understand this so I can sit down and explain it to my insurance agent. Why? All you do with your insurance agent, if they sold you this stuff, is just practice two words. You're fired. Well, he's my brother-in-law. All the more reason. You're fired. See, you're not going to win an argument with those people. If you win the argument, they have to quit doing what they're doing. They have to quit their job. So there's no point in arguing with them. It's not going to serve any purpose. Just get your term insurance in place and drop that garbage. And don't drop it until you got the term insurance in place. Money Magazine, Fortune Magazine, Kiplinger's, Consumer Reports, My Calculator all say cash value is the most expensive and least useful form of life insurance. Smart Money Magazine said it this way. They said the right type of insurance can be summed up in a single word, term. These are all the financial magazines. Everyone in the financial world hates this stuff except the people that sell it. The only proponents of it are the ones that sell it. Everyone else, all the experts, anybody who can run a calculator runs from this garbage. So, life insurance, what do we buy? Well, you need about 10 times your income on you. Like we said, it makes $50,000, we're going to put about $500,000 on Keith or Joe, right? If you make $60,000, about $600,000. And don't forget your spouse. No, I mean, don't forget to insure your spouse. So in other words, the stay-at-home mom, does she provide an economic value? You bet. Try replacing her if something happened to her. You got to hire Mary Poppins to do all this stuff, right? And so you're going to need $250,000 to $400,000 on a stay-at-home mom, somewhere in there, to replace the lost economic benefit of her. Is she worth more than that? Oh, light years more than that. But at least get $250,000 to $400,000 on her. Children only need enough for burial expenses. You don't buy life insurance on children. They don't make money. They cost money. Now, if you have a little starlet that goes to Hollywood and makes you about $1 billion, then insure that little puppy. But most of our kids cost us money. They don't make us money. They're a liability, financially speaking. So all you need there is enough to cover, God forbid, burial expenses. Make sure you have a new policy in place before you cancel any of your old whole life. Never cancel life insurance, old life insurance, until you have the new in your hand. Don't get in too big a hurry, because you don't want to get one foot on the boat and one on the dock and the boat leaves. You will be wet. That's not a good plan. Insurance to avoid: credit, life, and disability insurance. Sometimes when you buy something on credit, they want to put life insurance on there. And it gets humorous sometimes. I actually was counseling a guy one time, had financed his rototiller for his garden. And he bought insurance to make sure the debt was paid off if he died. He didn't have much life insurance, but the rototiller was going to be paid for. This stuff is hugely expensive. It's sometimes 50 to 100 times the cost of term. You just saw what we could buy for $13 up there, right? And we figured out that for what he was spending on his rototiller insurance, if he had taken that same amount of life insurance money and bought term life insurance, he could have bought a $100,000 policy. Instead, he was covering about $5,000. So it's somewhere around 20, 25 times too expensive. Disability insurance on debt is the same thing. You buy your insurance over here. And believe me, the lenders love to sell insurance. The banks love to sell insurance. And if the bank is selling insurance, it's expensive. You run. You always go to your insurance broker and let them shop and get you the best deal. You're not going to get a good deal from a lender on insurance. Well, we won't approve the loan unless you buy insurance. They cannot force you to buy it from them. They cannot turn the loan down because you didn't buy insurance from them. Except in the auto industry. Everyone else. But anyway, we're not borrowing money, so we're not worried about that. Cancer and hospital indemnity policies. Cancer is not the number one cause of death, but it is the number one gimmick we insure for. Now, if you've had cancer, you know it's not a gimmick, but the insurance stuff around it is a racket. Because here's the deal. Your health insurance policy covers cancer. Why are they not selling heart attack insurance? Some of them are now. But here's the deal. Your health insurance is supposed to cover that. You don't need to buy it again. That you're duplicating coverages, and well, if you got cancer, things are really bad. Yeah, they are. That's why you have a big honking emergency fund. You've got your investments going over here. You're out of debt, and you have health insurance. And then you've got what it takes to fight cancer from an insurance perspective. Don't be nickel and dime to death on these gimmick policies. They're out there everywhere. Accidental death. I get twice as much if I die by accident. You're not getting anything. You're going to be dead. And guess what? Shauna doesn't need twice as much if he dies by accident as if he dies regular. He's just dead. You don't need double if you're dead by accident. You know, again, a gimmick. Well, it doesn't cost much, so I just put it on there. Hint, insurance companies are really good at math. If it doesn't cost much, it's because it doesn't cover much. That's how, oh, it's only $3. There's a reason. Don't be nickel and dime to death. It's crazy. No pun intended. Prepaid burial insurance. Prepaid burial policies, period. I had a guy call me on the air a while back. His mother just passed away, and he'd gone through this horrible thing, and they, in their emotions, they had overpaid big time on Mama's funeral. And so he went in 3 weeks later, determined that wasn't going to happen to his family, and paid for his funeral. 40 years old. I said, "Are you sick?" He said, "No. I just didn't want that to happen to my family." I said, "Well, I appreciate that sentiment. What did you pay?" $3,000. "And it's for my whole life. It doesn't matter. When I die, I'm covered." I said, "I bet." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, let's take $3,000 and put it in a mutual fund in my calculator right here. And let's understand that if you're 40 years old and you're not sick, actuarial tables, life insurance tables will tell us you will live to beyond 80 years old on average. Average death male age is 74, female 76, but that includes infant mortality. So once you make it to 40, you got a real good shot making it into 80s and 90s, statistically speaking. So let's run the numbers out then and think about what happens. $3,000 invested from age 40 to age 80. in a mutual fund. $355,000 in this account. Who are you, King Tut? So don't pre-buy stuff like that. You can pre-plan, pre-arrange, pre-select, but don't pay for it. Have an account over here making a whole lot more than they're going to pay you on that account. And then, you know, your relatives can spend $8,000 or $10,000 or $20,000 out of the $355,000 coffin mutual fund. And I think they're going to come out pretty good. Mortgage life insurance, another gimmick. And again, a very emotional thing, kind of like the cancer thing. Well, at least the house will be paid for. The only time you buy mortgage life insurance is if you're uninsurable. If you've been sick and you can't get life insurance, you can do a lot of mortgage life without a medical. And without the medical, that's a good way to at least get some insurance. But otherwise, don't buy this stuff. It's 10 times more expensive, and all it is term insurance that goes down as your balance goes down. It's decreasing term. And so you don't buy mortgage life insurance. 10 times more term for the same money, going to a good website and searching among companies and getting you a good deal. Much, much better idea. And don't buy policies with big time fancy options and all this. Watch for the bells and whistles. Accidental death, we talked about that. Here's another one, return of premium. Lots of life insurance policies offer return of premium now. Lots of long-term care policies offer return of premium. Return of premium is if you go so many years paying the premiums and you never use the policy, we'll give you all the premiums back if you pay just this little bit extra for this return of premium feature. Take the little bit extra, put it in an investment, and you'll have a whole lot more when you return your own premiums. Don't fall for these gimmicks. Waiver of premium. In the event of disability, I'm not going to have to pay the $13. I think we're going to self-insure through that, baby. We only insure the big stuff. We don't insure the little stuff. Little stuff is where they make all their money. Big stuff is where we transfer risk. That's our defensive game plan. The last thing I want to talk to you about is you got to have a will. 78% of Americans die without a will. This is ridiculous. Get a written will. And I recommend you put a legacy drawer in your home. That's what we call it. In the study in my office is a file drawer. In that drawer are the wills, the life insurance policies, the disability policies, the car titles, all the real estate information. Everything financially about my life is in there, and instructions on each one, who to call, how to handle things. If something happens to me, Sharon can walk in there and it's all in one place. She's not trying to find it and dig it up out of the backyard and all this other stuff. That is one way I say I love you to Sharon Ramsey. Is our life is prepared that way. That is diligence. Diligence. And the Bible says the diligent prosper. So be diligent in these areas. Be wise in these areas. Now be sure you're doing your budget. And people ask me all the time, Dave, where's term insurance in the baby steps? Where's electricity in the baby steps? Where's food in the baby steps? Where's your rent in the baby steps? It's not there. It's a budgeted item. You have to have a budget that includes taking care of your life, and that includes health insurance, long-term disability insurance, term life insurance, and you make, you know, your car insurance, your homeowner's insurance. You probably already have those two. So go adjust those deductibles, polish up your plan, get yourself squared around where you're right where you need to be on all these things. Let me tell you what happens. When all of that stuff is real clean and that legacy drawer is there, there's a place in you that relaxes, and you're able to turn and become more productive in your life. You start getting a different layer to financial peace because you never know what's going to happen. Take a look at this video.
It was a September day. One of those days where fall is, well, it's doing its best to take over for summer. I was locked down in my office. I had do not disturb signs on everything. And I was trying to meet a deadline on one of these books for one of these publishers. Get things written up, and you know, if I get interrupted, I can't stay on task. My assistant came in and said, "Dave, there's a guy outside in the reception area that wants to meet you." And I said, "Well, I'm kind of busy here. I'm kind of locked down. I'm trying to meet this deadline." And And she said, well, I think this is important. And, well, I know by now if she thinks it's important that I need to go check it out. I admit my attitude wasn't perfect, but I'm going to go over here and put the happy face on, and I'm kind of grousing across the lobby and being interrupted. You know how it is. It's everybody's kind of that way, I guess. I get over there, I walk into our reception area, and this young guy stands up in the middle of September with a stocking cap on. And his pretty little wife stands up beside him, and I said, well, hi, I'm Dave. And he said, my name's Steve. I'm Steve Manus. And he said, I just wanted to stop by and tell you thank you. I'm thinking, thank me for what? And he said, Dave, you changed our lives. The stuff you teach, it's unbelievable. And I said, well, thanks, that's really nice. It's actually, I was writing, so it's kind of inspiring. So I thought, this is nice. And he said, no, you just really don't understand, do you? And I said, well, you're welcome. I'm glad you're winning. And he said, no. And he reached up and he took a stocking cap just like this off the top of his head. And I went, wow. Because there was a big scar right across the top of his head. And of course, his head had been shaved because he'd been operated on. He said, Dave, I'm 28 years old. I got brain cancer. The doc says, I'm not going to make it. I said, I'm okay with that. I love Jesus. I know where I'm going. And this is my 23-year-old wife, Sandy. Because of what you teach, Sandy's going to be okay. And he said, Dave, before all this happened, we were out of debt. We had an emergency fund. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's important, but what's that matter in light of this? And he said, no. I got $400,000 in term life insurance on me before this happened. Sandy's gonna be okay. And we got an HSA, we got a good health savings program, and so 100% of my medical bills have been paid, and everything's gonna be okay financially. He said, you don't know how much easier it makes it to fight cancer when you're doing it from that kind of a setting. Thank you. Well, Steve Manus and I became friends right then. And we walked with him and Sandy as they fought the cancer. And you know how fighting cancer is. It comes back, and then you think you're going to beat it, and then it comes back again. And I wrote about them because of the importance of insurance in one of my books. And a wealthy friend of mine read the story and anonymously gave them the gift of a 7-day cruise in the Caribbean. How cool is that? That's the way you're supposed to do stuff, you know? Well, November 17th, Steve came by the office with his dad and sat in on our devotionals. He just became a friend to everybody on our team. You know, we prayed with him, and he was an inspiration. He was something else. 11 days later, 4:30 in the afternoon, we lost Steve Manus. So he's in heaven now. You know, I don't always understand how things work, and I guess when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God about these things. Because if he had lived just 3 more days, we'd have been able to introduce him to his son, Whitten. Sandy and Whitten, you know, it's a sad story, but they're doing really well. Whitten's a little pistol, kind of like his dad. You see, the things that we talk about around here, it's about life. Don't confuse financial planning. Doing the right thing for your family. It's about life.
I think I know what you need to spend your 1 minute time working on. Making sure you've got a great defensive game plan.
Thank you for listening to Financial Peace University, Lesson 6, The Role of Insurance. Please visit daveramsey.com/FPU for further information. This audio is copyrighted 2012 by Lambo Licensing, LLC. All rights reserved, 1749 Mallory Lane, Brentwood, Tennessee, 37027. This audio recording is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with regard to the subject matter covered. It is sold with the understanding that the publisher is not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional advice. If legal advice or other expert professional assistance is required, the services of a competent professional should be sought.